Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club. Give it up for your hosts, P. Alex and Justin.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club. I'm Alex.
I'm Justin.
I am Pete.
And that's our man in the booth. Wait, what are we calling you, Ronnie?
Ronnie Rotten.
All right, Ronnie Rotten.
Ronnie Rotten.
Saving him for Boothman Prime, who's off saving the universe this week. That's very exciting. Justin, excited to have you back.
Yeah, welcome back, man. It's great to be here.
You've been off a couple of weeks. It's exciting to have you here today, too, because we have a big surprise for this audience.
Yes.
Now, I know everybody's been waiting for this. Everybody's been excited to see this. They've been talking nonstop about when a certain trailer might drop, right?
Yeah, exactly.
A certain trailer, a fourth movie trailer.
Yes.
Avengers 4. When is that trailer going to drop? And I'll tell you what, we got you guys.
We
the trailer.
We have it right here. We can't show it.
And it's an audio podcast.
It's an audio podcast, so
we got to do the audio of it. And also, we don't have the audio.
We don't have the audio. Yeah, and we don't know what's in it.
Right.
I think we can guess.
I think it'll go a little something like this. Ba 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 ba.
Hulk smash. Pete, do your
Pete, you know, one of my favorite bits on the show is Pete. No budding all of our jokes. Yeah. Being like, hey, let's add, here's a volleyball up in pizza.
A resident improv.
Fuck this bit.
That doesn't work in the improv world.
Yeah, but that's a good thing about
it. There was an idea that people could get together and then. It's the Thanos snap.
Oh, okay. Is that what that is?
Just out of trouble.
So
static.
Half of you is supposed to die inside.
What? Half of me?
What?
Yeah, half of you.
Did you see that movie? That's not what happened to that movie.
I'm pretty sure that's what happened to me after I saw it.
Half of you dies?
Yeah.
Wow. Man. It's a dark
one. All right, well, anyway, that's the Avengers 4 trailer.
You're going to like, yeah,
that we got that
all the characters get in an argument, and then Winter Soldier's like, fuck this bit. and that's the end.
So there you go. That's how it all ties up. But we're just getting started. Got one of our favorite guests here on the show. He's an amazing comedian, good friend of the show. Ladies and gentlemen, Nat Towson!
Nat
Towson! Good friend of the show.
Let's say great friend of the show.
What a good friend of the show.
Thanks for coming here. Nat, so I know you were worried about it. Your beer is right there.
Oh, thank God.
Yeah.
A lot of talk.
Long day.
Nat, it is
I'm not old enough to buy beer, so I have to do the show once every two months. No question backstage.
What comics are we talking about? What's new in the geek world? Nat's like, where's my beer? Like That's a profesh.
Yeah, parting the curtain there a little bit, but this is entirely accurate.
Now, we have some business to deal with.
Yeah, we do.
Before we get into anything. Pete,
we have a score to settle, sir.
Okay,
he's always, as we've established, very supportive of everything that everybody does.
Absolutely, would
like to talk to you about something.
Well, Pete, before you say anything, I just want to say I ate a big plate of rice and beans just
now.
Whatever you're saying, if it relates to that, just let me know.
Okay, so the last time you were on the show, you said that the thing you were working on was a game changer, and I said, fuck that whole saying, because everybody says, oh, this is going to change comics forever. This is going to be the thing. Nothing ever changes. And we made a bet that if nothing changed, I get to fucking punch you in the stomach.
Pete, let me just say, that's not what a bet is. You didn't make a bet. You made a threat. You threatened to punch him.
It's true. Actually, I think what happened
you
was
agreed
that you said,
to it.
Well, okay. Let's wide definition of the word agreed. I believe what happened was you said, the project that my company, Botnik Studios, is working on right now, we're about to announce it at the time, we hadn't announced it, I said, it's going to change a creative medium, forever. And Pete said, if that's not true, I get to punch you in the face. And I argued him down to stomach.
Right. So we agreed.
That's how I agreed.
Spoken like a true nerd. Like, maybe not the face.
The glasses.
And we should mention what he did was ban porn from Tumblr.
Yep.
So
successfully. Thank you very much.
There you go.
Welcome.
Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
You're going to have to find your Garfield erotica elsewhere, nerds.
Wait.
Someone just said no.
No. We have the actual.
I know. It's very sad.
We have the actual John from Garfield is here.
What the fuck did you release and what the fuck happened?
So we announced our big project, which we successfully crowdfunded. It's called The Songularity, and it's the end of music. And what we're doing is we're combining all music, our lead single, and multiple other sources of media, and we're combining them all into one album. Our lead single was called Bored With This Desire to Get Ripped. It's a combination of Morrissey and Amazon reviews of the P90X home DVD workout system. And we combined that to make the song Bored With This Desire to Get Ripped. And we have a lot of songs that are combining multiple sources like that. And we have successfully crowdfunded the album. It will come out in early 2019, at which point all music will cease to be relevant. So, Pete, I can't say that we have ended music yet. Mm. But if by the time the album comes out, they keep making music, I guess Pete gets to punch me in the stomach.
Okay, wow. Great. I got a feeling 2019 is going to have a big stomach punching.
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait. I feel a little upset I don't get to punch you now. But
if anything, I've doubled down on the fact that I'm going to let you punch me in the stomach,
yeah.
though.
Yeah.
Now so you can punch him in stay both tuned. Stomachs.
Exactly.
It's nice to have something to live for, you know?
Yeah, Pete finally has a New Year's resolution.
So this project, it's a lot of fun. You guys definitely should check it. Are the songs still online?
Oh, yeah, you can find, I mean, we put out probably 8 songs while we were just crowdfunding the album, but we're some of them may be like B-sides eventually or you know, a side EP or something, but there's a lot of music out. It's at thesongularity.com. You can go there and you can listen to a lot of the songs that we've put out so far. And yes, to answer your question.
Oh, even though you guys have crowdfunded it, mm-hmm. can people still pre-order the album?
You will be able to pre-order as soon as we hit like the solid like number of tracks for the album will be. So we'll have an actual listing so people know what they're purchasing rather than Quickstarter. I think it's a little easier to be like, hey, put some money into this nebulous thing. You can pre-order the album that way. And I think now we're waiting so that we have. If we're asking people to really put their money down for non-crowdfunding, we're going to have a much more concrete idea of what you're getting. But you missed out on all the crazy Kickstarter rewards, unfortunately, but you can still buy the album.
And you, on a totally different bent, you have an article that just came out in Esquire?
Yeah, so I've just started. I'm a contributing writer at Esquire right now.
Hey, congratulations, man.
Hey, thanks,
Pete. That's cool.
We'll hopefully have a full-page piece in an upcoming issue. And what's great about that is that they're going to pair me with an illustrator, and they've even suggested maybe some panel comic style
what?
Stuff.
What?
But in this, the first issue that I have contributed to at all is the December issue. I believe it has Idris Elba on the cover if you need another reason to buy it.
Nice. Magazine.
It's looking real nice. And
so, sorry, number one, an article by Nat Towson. Number two, Idris Elba.
Oh, no. Number one, article by Nat Towson. Number two, tips on how to just be a man, you know? Three, article about yourself.
I'd love to know that.
Yeah,
I've been wondering that for quite some time.
I've been working there for about a month. It hasn't rubbed off on me yet, but we'll see. So I contributed this feature called Dubious Achievements, which is this decades-running feature that Esquire's been doing since, like, the 1930s or something, where it's, like, essentially people who got famous for things that they shouldn't have been famous for. Or the example I keep telling people is, like, during the Paul Manafort trial, one of the stories I pitched was Rick Gates, conspirator of Paul Manafort, admitted that he cheated on his wife under oath, and they were like, no one asked you that. So he just unintentionally also incriminated him for that and conspiracy with Paul Manafort. But so it's things like, I mean, like last year, they picked some of the biggest dubious achievers. So like last year, Trump was number one. I'm sure Kanye or Elon Musk will be on the list this year. And then there's a bunch of little tiny news stories, and they're all, the headlines are like jokes. They're all comedy. Yeah. And then it's just a basic description of what happened. So I wrote dozens of headlines, and so a bunch of the jokes in that feature will be mine. So if you want to read writing of mine, pick up the December issue of Esquire and check out Dubious Achievements.
Nice. Since it's a magazine and it's a December issue, is it already out then?
Yeah, how do magazines work?
I don't know. I think that the cover on the date on your comic book is actually not the date that it comes out, and that's what I'm basing that on. So
and there's a
it's the issue that comes out this month. It's the year end issue.
Okay.
And there's a cliffhanger at the end of the issue, right? And then it'll be eventually collected in its full story about being a man.
By the omnibus of Esquire, every issue from 1934 to today, it comes out. It's 11 feet long. It's kind of hard to read, but if you have a good table for
it. So it's like a white box, basically.
Yeah.
An 11-foot-long magazine would be gross. I don't know.
Anyway. It's the binding is 11 feet long, if that wasn't clear.
Okay. And let's remember, people don't buy regular magazines now. So.
Right. That's why print is dead. It's too long.
Yeah, I got in at exactly the right time to be working for print media. It's doing real well right now.
Anything else you want to plug before we move on?
No, go to thesongularity.com. Check out all the things we've done with Botnik. If you're a comic book fan, check out our Infinity War parody, which is called Infizinity War. We combined, you know how Marvel had the most ambitious crossover? Well, what if you had non-licensed properties that Marvel can't get their grubby little fingers on? Turns out our crossover was even more ambitious.
Whoa.
So check out Botnik Studios, The Songularity, and pick up the December issue of Esquire.
Speaking of Infinity War, did you hear that we exclusively got the trailer for Avengers 4?
I kind of heard it from backstage. It sounded like the audience believed you and reacted
Should
well.
We play it again?
Yeah, oh, definitely.
Okay, all right, here, I'm gonna hit play on
hit
it.
Hit replay.
Click. Ba 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 ba. There was an idea.
Hulk smash.
Fuck this bit. May.
There you go. That's the trailer.
For the home listening audience, the trailer was very good.
All right, guys, we're gonna move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah.
In the stack, we're gonna talk about a couple of comic books we particularly like this month. Let's kick it off with Fantastic Four, number 4 from Marvel Comics. The Fantastic Four are finally back together. They're back on Earth, and oops, there's another Fantastic Four on Earth. What'd you guys think about this issue?
A younger, hipper Fantastic Four.
Oh, boy. What are they called? The
Fantastics.
Fantastics.
You know, the long-running off-Broadway show.
Yeah, very long-running. So this Dan Slott's run is sort of moving along well. He's got the team back together. Yeah. It's a lot of them journeying back home. They send all the kids in the Future Foundation off into another dimension, which I thought was pretty weird. Mr. Fantastic makes Valeria break up with her boyfriend.
Ouch.
Not cool, Dad.
Whatever. I'm going to do that to my daughter someday.
Oh, yeah. Man. That's hard. You shouldn't do that, man.
On behalf of your daughter. No. Yeah. That guy's a pretty cool dude.
Yeah, he is cool. He's red and has no shirt.
Yeah.
He's like a reverse Archie.
Oh, nice. Everyone's dream man. So he's super smart and makes good decisions. We watch too much Riverdale.
Yep.
But this is fun. I feel like the classic thing of like coming home and there's another team that took your place. In this, the twist here is that everyone likes this new team better.
I also really like the Spider-Man bit in here where Spider-Man was like going up to people like, hey, is that you, Wolverine, or is it like the old Wolverine? And he's like, get away from me. And then he's like, hey, Ghost Rider, is it you, Ghost Rider, the one that I know? Or is it this one that's in a car? And he's like, okay, fuck you, get away from me. And he just keeps doing that, and it was funny.
Yeah, it's a good bit. We talked about Fantastic Four, the last issue, on the last show, I think, right?
Yep.
And we were discussing the difference between this and what Dan Slott is doing on Iron Man. Yep. And I was thinking about that a bit over the course of the week while I read this issue and also got caught up on Iron Man. The Fantastic Four isn't quite there yet for me. Mm-hmm. Dan Slott is writing both of them, in case you're not totally up to date. This one, I love Fantastic Four. I think the art is good. I'm very excited they're back together. But there's so much business that has gotten they have to get through in the beginning of these first couple of issues that I just want them to get to it. Like, what is this title is about?
Yeah.
What is happening with the Fantastic Four now? We get that a little bit more on this week's issue of Marvel 2-in-1, which teams up the Invisible Woman and Human Torch on an adventure. And that was fun to me. I'm excited to see what they do next. But what Dan Slott is doing over on Iron Man is, to be much more direct, much more exciting. It feels like something fresh and new and a different take on Iron Man. And this is almost too reverential to everything that's come before.
But I think this might be it. Like, the next issue is the wedding between the Thing and Alicia. Yeah. And so, like, I think it's just going to be maybe, here's a bunch of stuff all the time. This reminds me of his early Spider-Man stuff, where he's just sort of, like, playing around with the toys. And I think it took him a long time in that world before he was like, this is my official take.
And we are getting the Doom arc is going to happen starting with issue 6, I think. So I imagine you bring in Dr. Doom, it's got to be something big. This is since Dr. Doom stopped being a hero and started being a villain again, we'll have to see what he's like now. So yeah, I think that'll be good. I'm looking forward to that. This I'm okay with at the moment.
Also, when Dan Slott started on Spider-Man, he had like four other writers writing it with him, right? So like there was definitely some room to like play around before, like he had like a trial run where it was like a group of people establishing the tone. So I feel like when he started that, they had already figured out like, this is how we write Spider-Man now. And then he kind of got to do his own thing with it, where like no one's been writing Fantastic Four in a while, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not to keep comparing and contrasting them, but I will. But on the other hand, Iron Man...
keep comparing and contrasting them.
Yeah, I will continue to do so.
Really pushing this Iron Man agenda.
Yeah. It's good, though. That is something where he came in and he's like, I have an idea that's different than what came before. I am using the toys that Bendis set up, but it's weird sci-fi concepts. There's a... actually a Fantastic Four villain, the controller that's being used over there really effectively. It's good.
I think we're going to get to it. We just got to kind of clean up everything and then...
I don't think we ever will. I'm done with comments.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Who has the time to read all this?
Yeah.
Apparently
we do.
Us yeah. for 12 years.
Yeah.
And before.
You got to make time for the stuff you love.
Yeah. How are you feeling about this run, Nat?
I'm curious. Do you think that the Fantastic Four is like hard to write? Because they have to be just so wholesome. Like, I don't think they have to be, like, overly wholesome, but I feel like there's a certain... To most characters, you can be like, well, he's got an edge. Or, like, you know, like, my take on Spider-Man is, like, now it's Doc Ock. Or now it's, you know, you take Daredevil, and he's like, let's put him through hell or whatever. And the Fantastic Four, you got to be like, man, this family loves each other.
Yeah.
Which is, like, a great story, and I think some of my favorite... Like, they're my... like, the Hickman run is one of my favorite runs in all of comics.
Yeah.
But, like, I feel like that... for a lot of comics writers, might be harder to initially pull off that dynamic.
I just think it's a false... to say that it's easier to write a character with an edge is fake to me. Like, how is that, like, easier? Where it's like, no, but he has a knife.
Ooh, it's I'm not in. Like it's, like, I'm in easier. Now.
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't in, but then you said knife, and now I'm in.
Oh, well,
I guess I just mean it's, like, an easier button to push. Like, you can... Like, I'm not saying that means it's going to be immediately great, but, like, when there's a character and, like, I think it's harder to sell... genuine characters sometimes, and I think that maybe that's why the Fantastic Four wasn't selling as much so well, because they are kind of...
What are you talking about? They're huge, successful movies.
Successful movies, a lot of runs in the past 3 years.
I agree with you, Nat, but I think one of the things that Hawkeye proved is if you slow things down and tell a good story with some heart and some integrity, that there can be room for that, but it's got to be done right.
To Nat's point, the point of the Hawkeye run was everybody hated Hawkeye.
Right.
Constantly, all the time.
Are you saying hate trumps love?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't like the wording.
You've been really pushing this.
I don't like the wording used.
I don't like comics, and I don't think they're good.
Yeah. I mean, I think the Fantastic Four is great. Don't get me wrong. Like, I think well executed. It's one of my favorite comics. I see them like start and stop a number of times with trying to make the Fantastic Four popular again, and it doesn't seem like they have as easy time as they do with like Wolverine or Spider-Man.
One of the things that I throw out there that might make it a little more difficult, just on a base story level, and there's certainly ways around it, but you can't really have romantic entanglements with the characters.
Right.
You need to bring in some sort of outside element or add somebody to the cast in order to have that, and that's a very typical soap opera storytelling mode.
And now they're about to marry off another character, so it'll really just be Johnny Storm can have romantic tension.
Exactly. Yeah, so that's... I do think you could tell stories about families. There's plenty of things to say about families, even
Absolutely.
Families that love each other. But... what?
I don't know. It's just funny to hear you say
family
families that love each other. Yeah. I'm just saying, it would be nice to be in a family that loved each other.
Oh, God. I do wonder.
Now, this is an edge. Now, this
maybe
is
his daughter wasn't dating a shirtless red guy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Something to be said. Dan Slott's not a dad, right? Like, he's a fantastic writer, but he's not a... he's not a family man, right?
No.
Like maybe a sociopathic loner like Iron Man is a little bit more up his alley.
Wow! Shots fired!
I like Dan Slott a lot. I read a bunch of
books. It seems like you just called him a psychopath.
Well, yeah. Alex, wouldn't you say that your life changed completely when you had your first child? You saw the whole world from a different way. You kind of saw the life from the other side all of a sudden, and you realized your priorities were totally different.
Oh shit! Yeah.
No. You've been a psychopath the whole time.
I have a family, and I'm still a sociopath.
Yeah,
all
right, okay.
Yeah.
Debunked.
Yeah. All right, let's move on and talk about an actual sociopath, literally. Scarlet, number four from Jake's World / DC Comics. You want to talk about this one, Justin?
Sure. So this is Brian Michael Bendis and Alex Maleev's book from years ago that sort of in fits and starts come out about a woman who her boyfriend is killed by a cop in Portland, and she sort of starts a revolution where they take the city and are controlling it. And in this issue, they have the city. It's surrounded. There's like special forces everywhere, and she chooses to surrender, and then it takes a turn after that.
Yeah, it does a sweet turn.
This comic deals with huge themes.
It does.
But what are you?
I'm your hype man.
I know it. Not so
to say, you've been
really
doing this all night,
Puffy,
dude.
In the corner over here.
Exactly. I'm agreeing with what you're saying.
I guess hold your comments and questions for the end. Yeah. And that's it, I guess. P, what do you think?
Well,
you like this?
I do like this comic very much.
Do you like
get
what's happening?
Get your feet off me.
Sorry.
Feet off me.
Yeah, I do. I think it does tackle a lot of political issues, which
I've
I think
never really looked this way during this the
is
show.
Bold.
It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a. Now you know what I have to deal with the whole time.
Spotlight's on you, Pete.
Yeah, yeah. So
I'm just going to hype you up when you're talking.
So far you haven't let me fucking say a thing.
It's hard.
So.
It's really hard.
It is hard, yeah. But I wasn't doing that to you. I was just, you were saying something, and I'd be like, yeah, word, yeah. Word. You know, like agreeing with you slightly.
Agreement, word.
Yeah. I think it's important that Bendis is kind of doing this with an independent comic a little bit. He can get outside the superhero world and talk about things. And I think it's important that he has this kind of outlet and is able to do this, especially with a powerful female character. I think it's a great book, and it makes a lot of smart choices and says a lot of things. So I appreciate it. Also, the art's fantastic.
Appreciate.
Word. Yeah, that's good.
What do you think, Alex?
No, I think it's fine.
Do you need some hype, or are you good?
Yeah, could you hype me up a little bit?
Yeah, I'll do my best.
Just shout, "We the best," or something like that?
Be best. Hashtag be best.
No, that's not what I was saying.
Okay.
I don't love this book. Like, I think Alex believes
don't
art.
Love.
Yeah, that's horrible.
Would you say hate Trump's love? I guess you're a little going with me.
Yep.
Alex hates this comic too. Okay.
Oh God, I could never rap.
Alex, I think we knew that before.
Yeah, I think we knew that.
You knew that.
Wow, newsflash! Alex Alvin can't rap.
I'm just saying because I couldn't have a hype man constantly being like, "Yeah,
yeah that's the reason."
Yeah, you're unhypeable.
Yeah. Otherwise, my rhythm.
That one proficiency detail.
Let me be honest. There's fewer hype men than you think.
If Alex were less distracted, he would be a successful rapper by now, but it's his inability to co-work with hype men. Everything else about him screams successful rapper.
Oh, man.
I mean, you got the collared shirt.
Love to make fun of a guy who looks almost exactly like me.
Yeah, I know. This is a lot of pot kettle situation going on here.
Yeah.
I think Alex Maleev's art is great. This story has gotten too big, I think. I know that's a weird thing to say, but I liked when it felt more personal. And here, the fact that they've been successful, that they've taken over Portland, that they've created this enormous revolution, the ideas are too large for me. That's all.
Interesting.
If that makes sense, I don't know if that makes
sense.
No,
I hear you. It does feel like the book is sort of backed into a corner a little bit, where it's like, oh, now she's in charge of the entire city of Portland, and what's going to happen now?
Right. That's a lot of coffee.
Yeah, and
fish
and craft beer.
Yeah,
wow.
And what's that?
I said wow,
wow.
Oh, you're hyping
wow,
again.
Thanks, man.
Really took a turn here.
So I agree with you. It does say to be concluded at the back end of this issue. So
that's true. I think it's definitely worth picking up. It's very well done, very well written, but not my absolute favorite thing. Let's turn to something else. Uncanny X-Men number 3, also from Marvel Comics.
Yeah.
This is real fun. I enjoy this a lot.
So this is the new... there's a sort of like what we were talking about with Spider-Man, where there's a big creative team and they're just taking turns making the issues or collaborating, and they're coming out biweekly.
Are they trading off on issues? Because they just list all three writers.
They're collaborating together. It's a little different in that they're But they are, I think, I'm sure that's the, how they're doing it.
I think in the first issue, it was listed, yeah, I'm sure someone has to take the first pass. They don't go, Wolverine says, and then someone else is like, and then Jean Grey says.
They don't take turns typing on the...
one word at a time, yeah.
They have their rare triple
keyboard. No, but in the first issue, that was the main story was contributed to all three of them, and then I think the two backup stories were like Matt Rosenberg wrote one, and Ed Brisson wrote the other.
Well, they are going to alternate through arcs. Okay. So this first thing, this disassembled arc, is written by all three of them, the way that I understand it, and then it's going to... Matt Rosenberg is going to take over for a while to tell the next big story, and then presumably Kelly Thompson will pick up one, and Bryson will pick up one, etc.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's pretty wild. There's so much going on in this comic now.
Yeah.
We were talking about this before as, like, sort of a not a big swing reboot, where it's just a lot of continuity still happening, but... It feels like it's big team action. There's so much switching between different characters. They're dealing with...
In different timelines.
They're not in different timelines. Well, they're different places.
Jean Grey's rocking that old school outfit that makes, you know...
Let me tell you again, just because people dress differently doesn't mean they're from a different time.
Well, it feels like what they're saying to us is, I wish I was in the 80s, you know, because I'm rocking this outfit.
Okay. When you say
different
timelines,
are you like, holy shit, you guys are going to love the future?
I try to tell them,
but they don't listen. I'm like, you guys, it's not like this anymore. Yeah. You know, like, you don't have to churn butter. We've made advances, and they just don't listen.
They don't listen to you, the heckler at Colonial Williamsburg. Yeah.
Hype man.
Town crier.
Misusing the term, that's correct. So what I was saying is they're in different areas. One team is fighting dinosaurs, one is fighting Jamie Madrox. The kids are at home, and Legion shows up, and that's weird. The movement is impressive, I think, in this these first three issues.
The thing that's crazy to me about each issue of this is you feel like, okay, here's the big threat at the end of every single issue, and then every issue the big threat changes up. Like, it becomes something bigger every single issue that they've done so far, which is bananas, given that they spent one entire issue fighting dinosaurs that are running on the loose. So I don't know who the villain is here right now, what the big story is that's going on. We're starting to get some of the threads are tying together a little bit, but it gets blown out by the end of this issue, like literally blown up by the end of this issue. I think it's a blast so far. How do you feel about it, Dan?
This is one of the only books that I'm actually keeping up with right now. I actually like it a lot. I jumped in. So I've been trying to get back into the X-Men for a while. I've mentioned this on previous Comic Book Club episodes, that they kind of lost me after Secret Wars. And then I kept trying to get back in. And so I read issue one, and I'm like a little lost as to like which Jean Grey is this, and like what happened to Jamie Madrox, and like... So I feel like I didn't read Rosenberg's Astonishing Run, which I feel like is feeding into this, or some of his other stuff is feeding into this a little bit.
The multiple man run.
Well, that's what sets up this.
Yeah, no, it doesn't though. Like the multiple man, everything that they did before this informs it, but it doesn't feed into it. If that makes sense, where. We don't know what's going on with Multiple Man.
Okay,
right,
so that's kind of what
he's
I was
really stopping the line there. Well, that's kind of what I was asking, my man.
This was easier for me to read than a lot of the recent stuff that I've been trying to jump at. Like, because I mean, I think part of this is probably intentional when you call a book Uncanny X-Men number one. Is that like it feels a lot more like the previous Uncanny X-Men number one, which was like, I don't know, 1992 or something. But like, I mean, it feels a lot more like a familiar cast of X-Men in books, or like, you know, you've got some of the Morrison run school kids, but like a lot of them, like a lot of the X-Men that I know. So I'm really enjoying this. It's been a lot easier for me to read. I'm comforted to hear you say we don't know what's going on in this book right now, because I did read the first issue and I was like, all right, I have missed some stuff. But I think maybe we don't know what's going on with Jamie Madrox.
No, you don't know what's going on. The reason I say it informs but doesn't feed directly into it is Matt Rosenberg kind of crystallized his view on Multiple Man, but the Multiple Man story that he told over that series, which is great, and you guys should definitely pick up, doesn't feed directly into this as far as we know. It's more how he wrote the character and how he approached the character and how he kind of... gave the possibility of Multiple Man's powers acting in a different way. Mm-hmm. But the way what's going on with Multiple Man here, which for those of you not reading the book, Multiple Man usually is like, I created 50 of myself. Here he's slowly spreading across the United States and you can see him from space because there's so many of
that
him.
That was cool.
Yeah, it's cool.
But they're also
and it's
like kind of weirdly drony and like they can't get into their brains right. or something's wrong with them. They're all
and
saying
they're starting to exhibit powers in a very strange way.
Right, and they're usually like independent consciousnesses, right?
Yeah.
At least to some degree. And this seems like they're all kind of like a weird, if not hive mind, they're all kind of just like drones, like I said. Like they're not like really.
So there's something going on with him. There's something going on with Legion that we don't quite understand yet. There's some other forces at play. So there's a lot of stuff going on, but I don't think you're supposed to know. So what I'm enjoying about it is sort of this wash of action and not knowing what's going on, which is just a lot of fun.
Yeah, I didn't pick up the first issue and be like, oh, God, like, so much continuity. Like, I can't read this. That's what I liked about it. I was like, oh, I've missed some things, but this is, like, it's intriguing. I enjoyed it. I didn't feel like I came in the middle or anything, which, at a number one, you shouldn't. But I also know that, like, Rosenberg has so much love for the X-Men. Like, you saw that in Multiple Man, like, picking a character like that and like, bringing so much to the character and, like, so much attention to something like that, that I'm excited for him, like, to be completely, like, I'm excited to read a book also that's, like, by someone who's such an X-Men fan. That like is finally getting like, you know, this is the main book, right? That's gotta be an exciting moment in your career. So like I'm enjoying reading a book that's by like a new writer rather than someone who's been on Marvel books for years and years and years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. That's it for the stack.
Yeah, yeah.
Guys, we're gonna move on to our next section, which is my favorite section because you guys make it up. It's your audience questions.
Yeah.
And for that, I'm gonna come out to you guys. All you gotta do is raise your hand, ask a question, you can get some free comics. So your hand up, sir. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, my name is Keir. And
what's up? Hi, Keir.
Hey. So, my question revolves
I saw
to
him this week in a totally unrelated circumstance.
Let's not let him get to the question.
But, yeah, my question revolves when you were talking about Dan Slott's run and how there was a difference. For all of you guys, what do you think was a moment where a writer and artist took over either Marvel, DC, or other comic and felt either they made the mark, like, oh, cool, they made their statement, this is awesome, or they completely missed it?
Ooh,
oh,
nice.
Two very different.
Oh, boy.
That's a positive and a negative take. Right. My first thought, this is an easy one, Starman, one of my favorite comic books ever, took a sort of a dusty legacy character from the DC Universe back in the Zero Hour crossover and totally refurbished it, put a new take on it, and it ran for 80 issues under James
really
Robinson's writing.
Was
that?
I was really shocked to hear you say that.
Well, but I think that answers. On a negative side, I got to say, the current Bendis run on Superman, to me, I just don't get it. I've sort of not picked it up as much because I don't love it. And it feels to me like it's not gelled yet. So that feels like a miss for me.
I would say Snyder on Detective Comics. When he first started, that was very like exciting, and I hadn't read his like vampire book, so I knew of it, but I hadn't like gotten into it. And to me, that was like, holy crap! Here he's taking like the greatest detective, and to me, it felt like real danger that he was in, and was like very intense and very scary. And
yeah,
really got me really back on board with like Batman and that
art
whole thing.
By Frank Avila was really important there too.
Yeah, yeah.
For me, I would say, I don't know if I have a negative example. For me, a positive one would be the Grant Morrison New X-Men run is, like, probably my favorite Grant Morrison. I'm a big fan of him, but I feel like playing with those tools. I love the X-Men, but I feel like people tend to go kind of light with them sometimes or kind of can retread territory. And I think he's the kind of writer who looks at a character and goes, you know, either what would this be like in the real world, or what kind of person would this really be, or like what would Jean Grey be like with, you know, what would your life actually be like if you could hear everyone's thoughts constantly?
What if I turned Jean Grey into a phoenix egg after I killed her?
Yeah, something
I got
like
you.
That.
Yeah, just a normal choice.
What if I had an illustrator for the last arc where you actually kind of have to read the script because you can't even see what he's writing or drawing rather? But other than that, pretty bad art in the final arc. I think that's like that was like an execution of the X-Men. Like as someone who grew up reading the X-Men, being like, having thoughts of like, you know, always sort of theorizing about like what these characters would be like and wondering why they don't address certain things. I feel like he hit a lot of beats for those characters that I had always wondered about those characters. And I think that was like really one of the most perfect executions of his writing style and of the characters sort of meeting each other. And again, the Hickman Fantastic Four run is like exactly what he's good at, executed for 3.5 years, and it's one story, and it's, I mean, it's airtight.
No. Two that came to mind, one, Geoff Johns and Scott Collins on The Flash is so good and just crystallized why I am now a lifelong Flash fan just based on that run, because it's so good and so iconic, so simple what they do with it in a certain way, but it builds up this mythology with the Rogues.
Is that the New 52?
No. That's before that. He did one volume which introduced Cicada with Scott Collins, and that's okay. And then right after that, they were like, all right, the Rogues. We're going to build up the Rogues. And they started peppering in these Rogue files throughout the run. They built them up as this legitimate threat, built up this uber story that eventually led to the reintroduction of Zoom and redefined Zoom, all up to the 200th issue that just completely changed the Flash. It's absolutely fantastic. And I forgot the other thing that I was going to say.
Oh,
yep.
So do you have a comic you want to shit on? Or?
What? Just
creator?
The rest of them.
Oh, okay.
Just
any
all the other ones.
I know what I was going to say. We were talking about it in the Patreon Slack the other day. Mark Waid's run on Legion. I've never been a huge fan of Legion of Superheroes, but had this take where it was actually like, we're teenagers in space of the future, and it really just drilled down on the idea of like, what would that mean?
Yeah.
And I think in particular, the first two volumes are just so good.
That's the Legionnaires run.
It's Legion of Superheroes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. He did a couple of different runs, but there's one from like the maybe late 90s, early 2000s or something like that, where it again rebooted the Legion of Superheroes, focused on the fact that they were like teenagers who were like, whatever, we're going to do whatever we want with our powers. And it felt like a very true, super fun teen book that was very dangerous at the same time. It was great. Cool. We got another question over here. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Kevin, and I'm going off of Alex's championing of the emotion of hate, as well as what you mentioned earlier about Dr. Doom.
Mm-hmm.
So what are some characters who have generally been portrayed as heroes who you think should have been villains instead, or should become villains?
Heroes who should be villains?
Cyclops, obviously.
I mean, they did that, though, right?
Yeah.
They sort of did that.
They kind of did that.
I disagree.
I know you hate Cyclops, but I thought that was like a good twist, right?
Yeah, I did too, because he's a horrible.
No, he's not a villain. He's just someone who would just adhered too hard to his ideals.
That's a villain. You define
that's not what a villain
he
is.
He doesn't actually know how to interact with people, so he makes.
You know he's coming back, right? You're excited about
that? And I'll tell you what, he's going to be a hero again. Mark my words. If that doesn't come true, you can punch me in the face.
All right. Nice. I'm very excited.
You know
about
what?
That.
I should have negotiated for stuff.
You should have
negotiated.
Yeah,
you should have led with that. You should have
started with
not
foot
literally.
Or something.
Yeah, you said the face. Man, can you imagine if I actually got to
That's
finally...
That's the moneymaker right there.
I mean,
That's
I've been wanting to do that
maker.
For like 13 years.
I will say, totally out of nowhere, we've been doing the show. I think this show is our 13th anniversary of doing
this
show.
That's right.
Wait, this one right today?
Yeah.
We didn't talk about it.
That's right.
Congratulations.
Because we started the first Tuesday in December 2005.
Probably should have done that as our opening bit instead of the Avengers trailer.
Yeah, but
I mean, I know you guys wanted to hear it. So.
Which is exactly. more true to the spirit of the show. Though.
Exactly. An anniversary. It's just we were going to renumber anyway, so it's fine.
Wow.
Let's reboot with a cooler, younger cast.
Oh, God, let's hope not.
Yeah, come on.
We'll be out of a job.
Dude. Don't say shit like that.
Nah, they'll bring us back in 20 years.
Cool. Yeah, we'll have a cameo.
You'll be a cameo as like their teacher or something.
Great. The question was about heroes that should be villains.
And, right.
Pete was wrong. Yep. What did you guys have over there?
I mean, the Punisher. Are we going to talk around this or are we just going to come out?
How
and
is the Punisher a villain?
How is the Punisher a villain?
Well, that's what I said.
The guy who runs around New York City and shoots people in the face with guns constantly?
Right. Bad guys. He shoots
it
bad guys.
It doesn't matter. He breaks laws
exactly
constantly. Kills.
He's the only one who's doing the right thing out there.
Do you think, honestly, when the Punisher is destroying buildings, that the only people who get hurt...
Every superhero destroys buildings. What are you fucking talking about?
He purposely blows them to shit.
Yeah, bad
with
guy's
his
buildings.
Explosives.
Right.
Bad guy's buildings.
Bad guy's buildings.
People are dying all over the place. He's killing people. Bad he doesn't guys. Care.
Bad guys are dying.
He gets to determine
He's
what the laws
out
are. You know who gets to determine the laws? The lawyers. Is that right?
What'd you say?
I don't think so. I don't
no?
think that's
okay.
Right. Just the way you said it seemed all sorts of wrong.
It did seem weird.
Yeah, you did this
you
like
said.
Slide step too that yeah. I've never seen. Yeah, that was like yeah, I don't know what
was.
Think
it was a lunch.
The lawyers.
A lunch.
Are you pitching
yeah,
a new superhero show
lunch.
Called
Can I say that again, actually?
The Lawyers?
All I'm saying is the Punisher breaks laws all the time, kills people all the time. Nope. There's definitely collateral damage that happens, and
nope.
he's a villain, and we've agreed on that.
Nope.
Nat, who do you think?
Like
also
a character
the
that
Punisher.
Should have taken a villain break, or we're talking like this character should have been classified as a villain.
Would the way I read it is? Oh, go ahead.
I would say a character you would want to see written as
a character we would want to see. Written
I want
as
to
a
see
villain.
Sue Storm break. I think Sue Storm is a really interesting character. I think she's almost always portrayed as just being like whatever you say, Reed, or like too often portrayed that way. Yeah. And she's one of the most powerful. Superheroes in the Marvel Universe and is very rarely treated that way. I think there is a run in like it's like a 90s arc
yeah,
where she gets
John
mind control
Byrne,
or something like that.
John Byrne in the 90s, she becomes Malice,
yeah.
I think.
Oh, yeah.
And she takes the Fantastic Four out like immediately. Like, and yeah. It's like this reversal where all of a sudden you realize that like, oh yeah, the whole force field thing is extremely powerful. And
a lot
wait,
of
is that the one where she got
that?
With Namor as well? She was like...
No, that happens every now and again.
Oh, okay.
Yes, that is one of the things.
But yeah, continuing on the Fantastic Four tip, I think it would be interesting to take a character like that who is kind of seen as like the anchor of that book and is like always like the most wholesome character in so much as like she's the moral support for all of them, the thing that the character who's always holding them together when they're breaking apart and stuff like that, and just, you know, in a not necessarily in like a Cyclops way, but like see that character not in a mind control like it's just pure evil way, but like see that character push too far and have to make sort of a you know, a more practical or pragmatic decision and just eventually flip. I think that would be an interesting take.
I agree with you on the Fantastic Four bent, but I think they should go for Willie Lumpkin, the postman, instead
oh, yeah.
of Sue Storm.
You mean like
he goes postal,
he gets a gun, yeah.
Wow. Wow.
My answer is Daredevil makes a lot of choices that a villain would make, and he never really crosses over.
Would you say he's like one bad day away from?
Really, sort of. And I know RIP, he recently died, but I do think he breaks a lot of laws all the time and could easily be a villain.
All right, good answers. I think we could do one more quick one. What's your name? What's your question?
Name's Caesar, and this is... somewhat comic book related, but pop culture related.
Oh, good.
So this year, I don't know if anyone's asked you, what have you done to celebrate Frankenstein this year?
Celebrate Frankenstein?
Yes, because guess what?
Mary
this
Shelley's
year is
anniversary, right?
Yeah, the 200th anniversary of the publishing of the book Frankenstein. They have an exhibit in New York. No, not the horse store. The Morgan Library.
Oh yeah.
About the book.
About Frankenstein.
Foundation, and they actually did a retrospective this October at the Museum of Modern Art of the Hammer Frankenstein series.
So your question is, what have we done to celebrate Frankenstein?
I know which direction this is going to go, regardless of what we say at this point. Yeah. So should we cut to the chase, or
what do you mean?
Get around a little
yeah,
bit
let's
first.
Cut to the chase.
I would say I'd like to, I haven't done this, but I believe Frankenstein was written... if I may be conflating this with the wrong author story, but it wasn't Mary Shelley at like a party and they all and it was like Bram Stoker or like a bunch of famous authors and they all broke off and wrote their own stories. I think it would be fun to have something like that where you have like a spooky evening and you challenge a bunch of writers to just write something like flat out like that.
That'll be awesome.
That'll be my I'll have like a séance. And light some skull-shaped candles or something like that.
I'd like to choke my creator.
Okay.
Is that... Is that,
isn't that a euphemism?
Are you talking about your dad? You want to choke out your dad?
Yeah, let's choke with that.
Okay, seems a little...
What a weird logical leap. Instantly, this creator thinks dad?
Well, that's the guy who created him.
Well, there are other people involved.
50-50, dude.
Yeah, that's true.
Plus my experiences.
Also, God.
I just want to choke out my experiences. I want to choke out the experiences that created
me. You know how I do.
Yeah, I know. God, I wish I could just sit on your shoulder for your experience.
Oh, man, that's creepy.
Really, live alongside.
Pete, you have all those dead bodies in your basement. Are you going to do anything with them?
Yeah, sew them together into something weird.
You know, like I haven't done that? You might as well.
Dude, you haven't seen... It's been a while since I've seen you. I have a whole, like, corpse fun land where I've turned them into rides and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Rides. That's a weird thing to say.
That's an oddly specific detail. Yeah.
Weird to say rides. Yeah, you have a Frank and Alex and a Frank and Justin there, right?
No, I don't.
Wow,
no?
I feel a little left out.
No Frank and Alex.
Let me tell you, after 2019, punch, drag, cut up, you're part of it. Yeah. You're lucky you're still alive.
Justin, what are you going to do? You're going to be afraid of fire or something?
I'm going to continue to revere my favorite Marvel character, Frankencastle, and promote him in every venue.
You already started clapping before he finished.
He knew where we were going.
He's been at the show before.
Yeah. Also, wait. I just remembered, didn't I show up to the show earlier this year and give out a bunch of Frankencastle comics? That might have been late last year.
Oh, yeah, that's how we celebrate it.
I just remembered that I did that.
Yep, that was it.
Fun.
That's it.
That's
we're,
the
we're
answer.
Bouncing
Man,
right
that was fun.
Yeah, I think we all had equal fun that
Hand
day.
Hand out the worst comic.
I did see one more hand over here. Did you have a question we can take?
Going downtown.
One more question. Did you have one? Yeah, here. I think I can only stretch this far. Can you come around?
Oh, that's
sorry. There we go. What's your name? What's your question?
My name is Brian, and I was just going to build off his question. What are some villains that you think would be interesting to deserve a redemption arc?
To be heroes.
Okay.
Villains who could be heroes.
I feel like they've done it with a lot of the ones I wanted to see, like Doctor Doom, for example. The guys who kind of skirt the line. Magneto.
Yeah. It would be great to see the Punisher as a hero sometimes instead of a villain.
Yeah,
he is one every day.
Really roll the dice.
I've never seen that before, yeah.
Every day is a hero.
He can give out coupons.
Well, that's the thing. It's something that happens a bunch. And it's hard because when you really like a villain, you don't want to see them be a hero. So, I love Doctor Doom. So I was mad when they were like, "Oh, let's make him a hero." And I was like, "Ah, it's not my Doctor Doom. I don't like that choice." But, I mean, there is a interesting, like, Sabretooth was a hero for a while, and I never bought it. You don't believe it when they say they're a hero.
I will tell you, they're dealing with that over in, I think they're calling it Weapon X-Force or something now.
Yeah.
I think that's the title
of
it.
Sure, why not?
It's a lot of fun. It's basically, Fred Van Lente and Greg Pak writing the super sharp mutant characters all teaming up.
Oh, yeah, I thought that was just called Weapon X.
Now they call themselves Weapon X-Force.
Weapon H is the one with the Hulk Wolverine.
Yes.
Right. Okay.
Which is also pretty fun, but they are dealing with that, I think, in a much better way, the Sabretooth hero thing. Like, I never really bought it, but the idea that they're dealing with right now is that nobody buys it, that he's constantly like, come on, I'm redeemed now. And everybody's like, no, you're not.
Yeah.
You've killed all these people. You're definitely going to betray us. Cut it out. We know it. And I like that take a little better because that forces him to try even harder to do the right thing and so often fail, which I think is good. Mm-hmm. That's all.
I want to see Galactus make some planets for a change.
Oh wow,
he did.
Al Ewing's Ultimates run. They like cure Galactus, and he starts to become a life bringer.
Yeah, good job. You got
it. Come out of his stomach like that? Is that what you were?
No, I was doing it like it's like a hand energy.
Oh, okay, like a chi ball that he shoots out or something.
Yeah,
he really graphically gives birth to planets over the course of
or shits them out.
Yeah, I am surprised they got away with all the
shits them out.
Well, he's eating planets. I mean, I guess.
Oh, you think he's really backed up?
Yeah, that's what it is.
By this logic, he would vomit planets, I think, at the very least.
Right. Do you know how the digestive system works?
Well, my understanding with Galactus is that he's not actually like a big, giant white man. It's subjective. He's like a cosmic being, so you see him the way that you imagine the world. So like a Skrull would see a big, giant Skrull. So I'm imagining human physiology. But for all we know, he doesn't have a digestive tract. It's just like stars and stuff in there.
So you think he doesn't poop?
No,
everybody poops.
Let's get to your take, Nat.
Let's get down to the real important issues.
That dude poops planets.
Like meteor asteroids.
I think that answers his question.
Yeah, I think we covered it.
Yes,
yeah.
You're welcome.
Yeah, there we go. Galactus poops planets.
That dude poops planets.
I didn't have a good answer, so.
Great. Yeah. All right, guys. Really. We're going to move on to our next section, which is super quick trivia with Pete LePage.
Super quick trivia.
Super speed trivia.
All right. This is the part we give back to the lovely audience's opportunity to win $25 free Midtown gift card. Who would like $25 free? Simple raising of the hand.
This is too fast for my taste.
Yeah. If you want $25, come on up on stage.
Yeah, sure. That's casual right. Hand up guy.
Casual hand up guy.
Do you want to
have to negotiate.
This is not great. All right. This is
come on up.
All right. Yeah. It's still Brian. Still Brian. Great. Brian, audience. Just audience, Brian. All right, Brian, how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, $25 yours in the form of a gift card to Midtown Comics. All right, here we go. So today's trivia is on Captain Marvel in honor of the movie that's coming out. Here we go. Question number one. What was the first appearance of Captain Marvel in Marvel Comics? Is it A, Marvel Superheroes number 12, B, Astonishing Tales number 42, or is it C, The League of Evil X's, number 7? So it's either A, if you would like $25, or you could pick something else, you dumbass.
Whoa.
You're right. That was too far.
Quick.
It was too far.
Quick
you're right.
Quick doesn't mean angry. Quick doesn't mean angry.
Okay,
it doesn't
thank
not
you.
Mean
thank
angry.
You. That's true.
Whatever's most efficient for Pete.
Well, I'm going to say A.
A is correct. Nice job, Brian. Don't overthink these.
That's
don't overthink
job.
Those. Here we go. Question number 2. There have been plenty of Captain Marvels. Who hasn't been a Captain Marvel? Is it A, Monica Rambeau, B, Novar, or is it C, Envy Adams? So who hasn't been Captain Marvel? I would lean a little bit towards the last one if I was you. You could go with A, B, or C.
Well, I'm going to say C.
C is correct.
Nice job. Way to read
MB
the room.
Adams has not been.
It's debatable.
Not been Captain Marvel. Not debatable.
That's Brie Larson.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she has been Captain Marvel.
Well, wow. That she hasn't been.
Oh,
hasn't been.
Trivia takedown.
Hasn't.
Yo.
She will be, but has
punch
not
him.
Been.
Punch
has
him.
Not
punch
been.
Him.
Has not been. Has not been. Has will maybe be in the future. We've only seen the trailer.
Man, Nat just got so much more punchable.
Yeah, I did. Here we go. Captain Marvel in the movie is Carol Danvers. She has a lot of powers. Which one of them is not one of the powers she has? Is it A, a sixth sense, B, super strength, or is it C, knives? Which one does she not have?
Ooh.
Again.
You wanna go? C knives.
That is correct. As Nat pointed out, Brie Larson is connected to all the answers.
Great, great Scott Pilgrim theme there.
Yeah,
it was nice. I love the use of knives. Was very smart.
Well, yeah, thank that was you. Good. That was a nice little tweak on it. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
I'm looking forward to Batman number 60, as well as Umbrella Academy Hotel Oblivion number 3. Also, I would just like to take a quick moment here. Last week, we had some people visiting from Ireland who have been big fans of the show, who have listened for many years, and they stopped by and said hi. It's nice when people actually come out, so that was kind of special, and I wanted to shout them out and say right. Thank you.
Hi, Irish people.
Yeah,
it makes sense you did it right there.
Yep.
I am looking forward to... Martian Manhunter number 1 coming out tomorrow by Steve Orlando, which is a really fun take on Martian Manhunter. You can tell that he really thought about the world and put his mark on it. Very excited for that.
It's a very Zalban issue.
What does that mean?
There's a weird sex scene in there that you were really into.
I thought it was
Oreos.
Yeah.
Canonically.
It's going to be a beautiful sex scene.
Yeah, exactly.
And obviously the Irish folks, I want to shout out the legendary creators of Guinness beer and Jameson whiskey.
Nice.
I should also mention we're going to have a review of Martian Manhunter number one on our Stack podcast, which drops in the same podcast feed as this live podcast on Wednesday mornings at 9 a.m. I'm looking forward to the Giant Days special is coming out from Boom Studios. This is a book that I really haven't read a lot, but the art is great. It's very fun. It's a good book for teens, young adults, and adults
when you
as well.
Point at me and say teens, I love it.
Yeah, there you go. And particularly, I just want to shout out, if you're an Irish teen, I think you'll like it a lot.
Great.
There we go. Nat, plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Oh, comedian David O'Doherty is very funny. Glenn Wool, I believe, is Irish as well. You should also check out, I'm going to check out Uncanny X-Men number 4. I'm going to go out on a limb, say I'm going to keep reading this book. Plug my stuff. Go to thesongularity.com and check out the music that we've put together so far. Botnick Studios, read all of our stuff. And pick up the December issue of Esquire and read Dubious Achievements and try to guess which parts I wrote.
All right, very cool. Couple of things before we go. The show is free to come see and free to listen to, but it does cost a little bit of money to do. If you want to support us, patreon.com/comicbookclub. We got a bunch of bonuses out on you can check out. Also, we do a Riverdale podcast, Riverdale After Dark, that goes up every Wednesday after the show, so please check that out. Pete, what else do you want to plug?
Friend us on Facebook so you get to know about the amazing guests we have on our live show.
You can follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live, and I should also say I saw Deadpool 2, and it was good.
Nice. Wow. I'm glad you saw it, man.
It's very good.
Which one? The new version that they just put out that was PG-13?
No, the old one.
Okay, all right.
The one from so many months ago. Great last credit scene.
That's great. I'll have a medal or award for you next show or something like that.
Yeah, because I did my homework.
Daredevil yet or Punisher?
Daredevil yet, the TV show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm definitely watched one of those.
Yeah, okay, great.
Cool. ComicBookClubLive.com for this podcast and very many more. Oh, my God.
A questionable amount more, I would even say.
See my brain break a little bit?
Yeah,
exactly.
Because
you just slipped into like some real rap lyrics.
Yeah, that was a flow state.
The flow.
You've got to check out our website.
No, nobody wanted that.
We've established this.
If you guys want to hear it later, listen to my rap podcast, which will just be an hour.
Patreon only.
Laying down some tracks.
I can only hope.
Yeah, it's only.
Beats my hype man on it. It's
really good.
It's a great podcast. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank Nat for being on the show.
Ronnie Rodden!
But most of all, we want to thank you guys for every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night.
Thanks, everybody. Thanks for coming out.